Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. This one is brought to you in association with West Yorkshire Electrical. If it's got wires in it, they will work with it. Fully accredited electrician, also with a team of roofers inside the business. Have a look at wyelectrical.co.uk for details. And of course, tell them that we sent you. You can find them on your social platforms as well. Right then, Phil, hey, you are in a car park in Coventry, a glamorous setting. People think it's all rock and roll for you and the Athletic, and wow, this is no different, and so on and so forth. But you are straight out of the press box. That's the tone of this show, the view from the press box. A couple of questions to throw at you then, if I may. Number one, what was Farke's tone like in the post-match press conference? And second of all, is this a time for cool heads?
Oh, it's definitely a time for cool heads. His tone was quite reflective, actually. I sort of asked him afterwards, what do you say to the players now to make them think that this is going to turn again in the last five games, which it clearly has to now if Leeds are going to get back into the top two? And I don't think anything about this season makes you think that there isn't some way to go in this race yet. It's moved constantly. And his answer was that he didn't think it was in any way the time for kind of top-thumping messages or kind of messages of defiance. He sort of said, I want us to stay really humble after this defeat, even though it's, you know, first defeat in 16, going back to December. I think he's quite keen for the players to think about what they could have done better today, how they could have played better, where the performance was lacking. I mean, interestingly, he wasn't that unhappy with the performance as a whole. He was saying that statistically, you would put it down as, in his words, a good away game. Leeds had enough chances, had enough possession and everything else to have got something from it. But he was fairly honest, I thought, when he said that, you know, that the kind of key and decisive duels, to use his word, had gone against Leeds. I think deep down, he didn't feel that there was the same energy or intensity from, particularly, I think, some of his attacking players that Coventry were getting from Ellis Sims and Hajri in particular. They're a very good side, Coventry, and I felt that when they were at Elland Road earlier in the season. I thought they were worth the point. I thought, you know, with the exception of Cardiff on the first day, and certainly since, you know, Farke got his squad and his plan together, I think they've come as close as anybody to actually doing a number of leads and winning at Elland Road. So we said beforehand in the podcast on Thursday that this was arguably and perhaps the most difficult game that Leeds had left. And I think that was borne out by the way it went today.
Yeah, it wasn't a particularly enjoyable experience, I didn't find, from a Leeds perspective. And yet, weirdly, we could have got something out of it then towards the end. But if it just felt like it was too little too late in the end. If we'd carried on playing, you could have seen it scoring again, perhaps, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. Cheap goals, and Farke was making that point himself, particularly the first one where Melier went looking for that corner a couple of times and really didn't get close to retrieving it. And likewise in the second half, just a mess of defending. I think Coventry will put that down as a very good goal. Nice cross to the back post and a good finish from right. But Leeds nowhere near as organised and as tight as they have been at the back. I think they're a good blend, Coventry, of skill and strength. And they were certainly aerially dominant against Leeds early on. Leeds actually started fairly brightly. I thought it was quite a good opening 5 minutes from them. But the first goal really did set the tone. And we, just as the halftime whistle went, or as it was about to go, we saw Chris Domagala, Farke's performance coach, run into Conor Roberts. And it seemed pretty clear at that point that he was saying to him, look, there's going to be a change at halftime. And that's very unusual for Farke. I mean, we got used to some really, really early and ruthless substitutions when Marcelo Bielsa was head coach. Farke's kind of the opposite. He prefers to lay his plan out at the start of the game and to see it figure itself out and sort itself out if it's not quite working. But I think the change of Conor Roberts for Kamara at halftime told you that it wasn't going in the right direction, and he didn't think so. I thought the appearance of Pirro and Matteo Joseph made a bigger difference. And I do think with hindsight that those substitutions could have come earlier, might have helped to have had fresh blood on the pitch earlier, because Coventry started to go backwards in the last half hour. They started making strange decisions, poor touches in risky areas around their box, and it was inviting Leeds on. And you can't deny that that was a massive, massive chance for Pirro at 2-1, right at the end, that you assumed he would score. It really was a bit of a sitter, that.
One of the things I mentioned on the Match Ball, Phil, question I posed to Michael and Moscow was, do you think that maybe the moment at which we went 2-0 down, we should have maybe rolled the dice at that point and given ourselves that extra 15 minutes to try and turn that game around? Because we knew what script it was going to follow. It was going to be the throw everything at the wall and see if something sticks approach.
Yeah, I think that's what I was getting at. They did look better with Pirro and Joseph on the pitch. Look more dangerous, a bit more overwhelming. And you did start to feel like a goal, at least one goal might come. And it's just not Farke's style, really, is it, to gamble that early or to gamble so dramatically? I think even the early change at half-time is kind of a break from tradition, certainly in terms of this season. You know, if there's one thing we've learned about him this season, it's that he doesn't tend to be rash when it comes to changes, and he doesn't tend to rush into reaching for his bench. But they were better. They were more effective with those two on the pitch. And there is, you know, as I said, absolutely no denying that chance for Pirro at the end should have been 2-0.
You mentioned before about the possibility of the season turning in the last five games. The fact is it's going to kind of shift game to game anyway, isn't it? So it feels more like just kind of deep breath, strap yourself in. I don't know, that's where I am anyway, that we could see things move, you know, again on Tuesday, but it could flip again for the weekend game. So it's very, very easy, I suppose, to get caught up in negative thoughts off the back of a defeat and feel like the world's collapsing, but it's not, is it? There's still distance left to run. There will be more twists and turns, which is something that even like Maresca at Leicester sort of hinted and said, it'll be closer than you think, even when we thought they were in a position of incredible strength. And obviously they got their win late on Saturday, which was to their benefit. But of course, Ipswich lost.
Well, this is it. I certainly feel like it will twist again, because it has done kind of game after game, like you said. It doesn't feel like very long, and it isn't very long since we were all wondering whether panic was going to set in at Leicester. And suddenly they're back at the top of the league, and Leeds are back down to third, having been top after the win over Millwall, when they just look so strong and comprehensive without looking brilliant in every game. And I think it's fair to say that since the international break finished, they've had to dig deep and they've had to kind of excavate the resources of stamina to get through the two games against Watford and Hull, which, you know, I think by the end of them, 4 points in those two games seemed good enough, you know, and it kept Leeds in the position that they wanted to be in. Didn't have enough to dig it out today. And I think Farke's point afterwards was that, you know, it doesn't need to be the end of the world. It certainly doesn't need to be game over in terms of chasing the top two. I think the one thing that will frustrate him today is that Ipswich away at Norwich was exactly the sort of fixture when you thought the points would go begging for them, exactly the sort of fixture you thought they might lose. And because they did lose it created a really big opportunity for Leeds today. I found it quite fascinating afterwards, actually, that Mark Robbins, who, I don't know, it just seems like a perfect fit for Coventry. The squad seemed to suit him. He seems to suit the squad. They definitely know what they're about. And they seem to properly understand what it is that he wants them to be doing. He said that they paid a lot of attention to the result at Carrow Road because it had an influence on the top six, Norwich in sixth place. And he said, you know, we'd taken a close look at that because we knew after it that we needed to win. You know, we needed to beat Leeds. And I asked Farke about that, you know, how much attention they'd paid to the game at Carrow Road. And he said, you know, we were aware of it, very much so. You know, it wasn't as if we weren't paying attention to what was happening there. But he didn't think it was an influence in terms of Leeds' own performance today. He didn't think it affected them. And I guess it's very easy to draw that conclusion that it increased levels of tension or put the pressure on slightly, knowing that, you know, the opportunity that was in front of them. So I suspect that today, that result at Carrow Road probably worked for Coventry more than Leeds, if indeed it worked for either side.
Well, why shouldn't it have worked for Leeds, though? What is it about Leeds that meant we weren't able to step up?
Well, I guess it's the tension. And you know, Farke didn't think this was the case, but I guess it's the tension that creeps in naturally when you realise that a win today, it might be decisive or might break the camel's back when it comes to teams below you. I suppose it goes back a little bit, doesn't it, to that game against Barnsley at Elland Road and the last game before promotion, when it was all there for an extremely, extremely talented, very, very good, reliable Leeds team who did the best to make an absolute meal of that game on the night. And, you know, that psychologically, that can happen. As I say, Farke was saying to us, he didn't think that was particularly a reason or a factor in the game today. But I certainly think Leeds have played better than this many, many times this season.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And on to Tuesday, then, no time to dwell on it, which I think in this case is probably for the best. Do you agree? And,
yeah.
And a Sunderland side, yeah, who basically have got nothing to play for now. They're on 52 points in 13th position, away off the playoffs, and a good 10 points clear of relegation. And it's a bit of a bum fight down there as well. So they're not going to get sucked into that, I wouldn't have thought.
No, they're definitely not. Definitely not going to make the playoffs. You would like to think that Blackburn after them as well have enough to be safe as well. And that from their perspective, that's a slightly dead game, if absolutely not for Leeds. But it's down to that stage of the season now where I think even Farker would accept that it's fair and reasonable to look at the table and to assess what happens next. And, you know, this might well swing in a way that leaves Ipswich or Leicester needing the same in not so very long. But for now, the way things stand, Leeds need, you know, it's not a case of being behind the eight ball at the moment, I don't think, but they do need somebody else, somewhere else to miss something.
But it has been that, like that. That's what I was getting at, I suppose, with the game-to-game point, is that teams are going to drop points. It's unlikely that everybody is going to win all the games between now and the end of the season because it's just that time of the season, isn't it? And just looking at the fixtures, you've got Millwall, Leicester, Tuesday, 7:45 kickoff. We kick off 15 minutes later, which provides the interesting proposition of if something happens in that game where it's perhaps level at Elland Road and Leeds know they need something going into that last 15 minutes of the game. Fascinating, isn't it? And then Ipswich Watford is on Wednesday. So it's a chance for us to do something on Tuesday and to, put the ball back in Ipswich's court.
It's also pretty remarkable that the form that clubs like Leeds have put together in return for, you know, as yet, nothing. You know, it's the opportunity's there, the chance is there, but it's not decided. I remember the start of the season, early part of the season, Farker talking about 26 wins most likely being enough to get you automatic promotion. Him saying to the board when he was interviewed that if you can score 75 goals again, that should put you in a position where you'll take one of the automatic positions. Leeds reached both targets, bang on both targets on Easter Monday, and have still got so much to do. And you know, the same goes for Southampton after that long, long run they had, their best streak of form in a century. And to my eye and to my mind, they're out of the running for automatic promotion now. They haven't been able to keep pace. And they're not going to close that gap because they need too much to go on above them for that to happen. And I suppose it makes the point that exceptional runs only really resonate if they lead to something. And there is going to be at least one club this season who are going to go pretty heavily under-rewarded unless they go up through the playoffs. But what has been a very, very strong and impressive season. There's a chance it could be Leeds, but there's a chance it could be Ipswich and Leicester as well because it is so tight.
Leeds fans listening to this, watching this on YouTube will be going, I know which one of the three it'll be. But that's 16 years of affliction, isn't it, that's kind of weighing on our shoulders, you know, like it was heading into the last promotion. I think we just got to, like I said, this is the time for cool heads, which is why I sort of posed that question back at the start. Jack Clark is back in for Sunderland. He's returned from injury. He started Saturday's game, the 0-0 with Bristol City at the Stadium of Light. But as a team that's basically got nothing to play for, you expect, I don't know, I'm trying to maybe, I don't know, cling on to things here, think that he's going to be angling for his move, or maybe Ian Hart is even angling for a move in the summer. So you hope that he is perhaps a little bit subpar, shall we say, when they come to Elland Road on Tuesday. But he was their main threat, wasn't he, in the away game at the Stadium of Light. And this is a different Leeds, it feels like, to me now. It's a different context, and it's a different team that we're seeing. And I'm just hopeful that because it's a quick turnaround in fixtures, that this team is going out there wanting to put that right.
I think it probably helps, like you said, to be playing again on Tuesday night. And it's ever more interesting that the international break doesn't really seem to have done Leeds any good at all. You know, I think if Farke could have had the option, certainly looking back now, he'd have preferred the season to have carried on rather than the interlude that didn't help with injuries. Although he did have Conor Robertson non-toe back today, which was a really big surprise. There was a chance that Gruev would be involved and he did start. But we saw Nonto and Roberts beforehand and assumed that they were kind of along for the ride more than anything, but both on the bench and both came on in the second half. I think the bigger thing of this week as well is just going back to Elland Road, where Leeds have been so dependable and so reliable. And there's no getting away from the fact that they are a really good team under Farke. They don't have many days like this. I was looking at the stats beforehand, which were showing that from winning positions this season, they've only dropped 4 points and haven't lost to anybody. You know, Coventry, the last side to get something from them, having been behind at Elland Road in December, and weirdly, pretty bizarrely, Rotherham, the other, down at the New York Stadium. And even in those games, you had Dan James missing from point-blank range injury time against Coventry. You had a challenge by Lee Pelty, which I think, had VAR been in the Championship, would have given Leeds a penalty right at the end to win that, and obviously a disallowed goal as well. So they're incredibly reliable, incredibly dependable when they do get ahead. And you wonder whether Coventry approached today's game with that in mind, because they did go after Leeds, I thought. They did go looking for goals. They did try to get themselves ahead. I thought over the 90 minutes they deserved it, really. I thought they did enough, and Leeds didn't lay it on thick enough until it was too late.
Yeah, just looking back to the last promotion, and we had some very serious off days in that one as well, didn't we? Thinking specifically to that QPR away game in January, it just didn't work. At home to Wigan a couple of games after that. We lost to Wigan again at the start of February. That Forest game when we had the famous Luke Ayling interview afterwards, when he had that hangdog expression. And, you know, that was a team that turned it around. You look at this team this season, we're only really losing by fine margins, aren't we? Like, I know it was a bad start today and we conceded two pretty poor goals. But as I was saying, like they could have got back into that given the chances that we had there towards the end. So we're not getting hammered and beaten out of sight, are we, at any point, really? We've not had a proper stinker of an off day, really.
No, I think Southampton away is the only day where you felt like Leeds had been properly turned over. And it was, you know, it was a day in which they didn't start Rodon, in which they, you know, just got away from them so quickly. Robins again today, just following the trend of every manager who speaks after games against Leeds and talking up, you know, the quality of Farke's squad and what he's got on his bench. And you know, I think he's very clear that he looks at them as a side who should be going up. Although I think, to be fair, a lot of managers would say the same about Leicester and Ipswich. And it is a three-way race in which only two teams are going to end up happy. And yeah, it's the advantage of always being in games is that they have players who can turn them. And that's how it felt today when the first goal, when Leeds goal went in from Pirro. You did wonder to yourself, does this have two all in it? And if it does have two all in it, could Leeds nick this? Because you felt as if one goal might become three. And I felt like Pirro's goal came early enough to give them serious chance of a proper fight back as well. But it just wasn't happening in the end. And as I say, I think although the pressure was really on Coventry for the last 20, 25 minutes, it really came too late. It was too late in the day when they were made to feel uncomfortable. And I do think they deserve the win.
Changes for Tuesday then, would you do anything?
It'd be very interesting to see. I wasn't surprised that it was Kamara who came off. He seemed to be carrying the ball a lot, without doing very much with it and without delivering much at the end of those carries. Did look a bit flat, did look a bit low on energy. There's a good amount of recovery time now and he obviously hasn't played the second half today. He's not in the same way as he doesn't make wholesale changes in games early on, Farke. He's not a kind of wholesale change manager when it comes to starting lineup either. Bamford, I thought, had a difficult game today. Farke said he was happy with him off the ball, but you know, on the ball, not particularly effective. And that chance in the first half, we thought at the time that if Bamford had gone for it, we were a long way from it, so it was a little bit difficult to tell. We didn't have the benefit of a replay, but it did seem like one of those where if he'd gone for it with his right foot rather than his left, you know, he'd have had a better chance of converting that. But Farke was asked in the presser beforehand, you know, whether Joseph in for Bamford is an option he would seriously consider, and he didn't give the impression that he would. But it'll be on his mind now about what to do for Tuesday. He won't want to throw everything out. It won't be a sort of baby with the bathwater routine, but there are ways in which you can freshen it up.
What about right back? That's one area I do wonder. The nous of Connor Roberts at right back against Jack Clark, and maybe push Archie into midfield. If you're gonna rest Kamara, is this the time to do it, maybe?
Yeah, Gray didn't have a particularly good night against Clark up at Sunderland. And I think with Roberts, you benefit not only from the fact that he's a really good right back, but I think character and attitude-wise, probably what you need a little bit more of in circumstances like this. So that would seem to me that with Gray potentially pushing into midfield would seem like an easy change to make. The only question I think will be how long Roberts can play for. He went through 45 minutes today, but Farker was saying that they really were pushing him to the maximum by doing that, because I think he'd only had one training session before the weekend. But that's probably the area to keep an eye on. I mean, Farker himself is really experienced in these situations. You know, he's been through promotion twice with Norwich already. But the difference this time around was that by this stage of the season, certainly in his second promotion in 2021, Norwich were basically home and hosed by this point. They're very, very close to getting it done, whereas it's far more on the line as it stands.
Final one then, and I'll let you get going onto the M1, Phil. What do you reckon the atmosphere is going to be like at Elland Road on Tuesday? There'll be nerves there certainly going into it, but I think it'll certainly start off very supportive and loud, because Sunderland will travel in numbers. They'll sing, which will in turn encourage our crowd to sing and respond. It always helps, doesn't it, having the opposition fans that are noisy. What do you reckon?
It'll be a slightly weird night, because without any doubt, people will be following what's going on elsewhere, because you can't not at this stage. I'm with you. I think it will start very supportive. I think the way in which the atmosphere goes will depend entirely on how Leeds play. If the performance exudes confidence and Leeds get in front, then that will help massively. If the performance is nervy, then you've seen it before, that tends to transmit to the stands as well. But I've seen the crowd at Elland Road play big parts so many times over the years, and most recently against Leicester in that 3-1 win a few weeks back. And it will be necessary again at some point, without a doubt.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Early goal, I think, is the one that we need to show that we've got it in us. I think, because it felt like the goal was a bit of a struggle on Saturday against Coventry. Get that early goal, lay down the marker, set the tone for the game. And, you know, I feel like as well, we're due to spank somebody this season. I think this would be a really good time to do it.
It'd be absolutely perfect, wouldn't it? Absolutely perfect. I mean, it's almost every time I look through the stats and the numbers, and you can apply this to Leicester and Ipswich as well, it's almost unbelievable that it is still up for grabs at the top of the league. And the only thing I would say is that if there's tension around Leeds, there won't be anything in the way of absolute surety or you know, certainty about where this is going at Ipswich or Leicester either, particularly because of the way things have bobbed and weaved over the past couple of months. But I think as we stand and coming out of this weekend, there'll be nobody happier than Leicester, particularly with what's gone on with them very recently.
Right then, Phil, get yourself home. Safe travels, and we will catch up towards the back end of the week ahead of Blackburn.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the show. We'll see you later.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.